Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland teaches you how to become a champion of faith. Apply the word to things in your everyday life. As you believe, say, and act on the word, faith's results will come.
Let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Some very, very interesting things here that have to do with the traditional idea that Jesus' ministry was a poor ministry. Couldn't be anything any further from the truth. How many of you are familiar with the tithing scriptures in Malachi? You think Jesus tithed? Well, of course he did. Let's look at some things here in Mark 10, from beginning from the 17th verse. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Knowest thou the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked round about and saith unto... Well, I want to make one comment here. Did you notice he said, "Come follow me"? Do you remember that the only people he said that to turned out to be the apostles? What a replacement for Judas. Huh? Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Now listen. And the disciples were astonished at his words. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished. Doesn't sound like a bunch of poor folks to me. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Every man he had was wealthy before he picked them. John and James, sons of Zebedee, in the fishing business. Peter and Andrew. Matthew. Oh, yeah. What about Matthew? Yeah, he's a tax collector, brother. Yeah, you know, that's the reason they hated tax collectors, because they skimming. You mean Jesus picked a man like that? Well, yeah, he picked you, didn't he? Well, I never done anything like that. Well, you hadn't quit lying, have you? Oh, this is one of them nights I can already tell. They were astonished out of measure. Now, just a minute. Just a minute. Let me show you something here. Hang on a second. Look at verse 10. And in the house. That is always referring to Jesus' home in Capernaum. Do you remember when all the doctors of the law and so forth came from all different places and they had to break open the roof? That was Jesus' house. Look it up for yourself. Just look up the word Capernaum and just, you know, every time he said he went to Capernaum, he's going home. Now notice this. They were in the house. His disciple asked him again and so forth. So they had just come from the house. His very large home. Oh. And they're looking at him and they're thinking, what? What is it? What is this? Oh, I love it. Don't you love them? They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves. They didn't say it to him. They said, which one of us could even be saved? We got too much money. And besides that, he wouldn't let us even bring any with us. But we've gotten richer since we've been with him than we were when we started out this thing. He said, when I told you not to bring anything, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. Let me remind you of something else. You remember he said, sell one of your garments and buy a sword. Can you see somebody selling a garment that's the only one you had for 3.5 years? Had be some pretty nice clothes. If you could sell it, are you here? You know, amen is allowed. Some of you are thinking, oh, boy, he's off of it tonight. Listen to him talking about rich disciples. Jesus, the only time he became poor was when he went to the cross and bore our poverty. He became poor so that we might become rich. Rich, R-I-C-H, rich, is a Bible word. Amen. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man, that means women too, nobody that hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses. It's all right to have more than one house. Brethren, more than sisters, mothers, children, not wives. He left the wife part out. With persecutions. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, brother. Because you will get more persecution over money than anything else. And you want me to tell you why? Because that's the only thing Satan has that to cripple the church. He thinks money belongs to him. Jesus has stripped him. Hallelujah. And left him a zero. Naught. Brought him to naught. Amen. But he has controlled the preaching of the gospel over the centuries by preaching poverty to the church. And the church bought that lie and bought it and bought it and bought it and bought it and bought it. Amen. Hallelujah. Persecution's coming. So brace up. Just brace up. Let me tell you something the Lord said to me. This will help you. Oh, Lord. Years ago, the Lord said to me, now I've never heard the audible voice of the Lord. I'm open, Lord, you know. But that same still small voice of your spirit that every born again person has. And anyone can hear it, but you have to develop it. You have to listen for it. You have to be quiet sometime. Amen. I doubt very, very seriously if you're going to learn much about hearing the voice of the Lord driving down the freeway, listening to whatever that junk is you listen to on the freeway. Don't be doing that. Amen. Be listening to the Word. You got a phone with an app that'll play the scripture to you. Download it. Praise God. That's what that thing's for. Boy, you don't have any excuse today. Gloria and I go to bed and listen to Brother Hagin every night on the phone. I put the iPad up one night because there was a service there that I wanted to see that he preached. And so I had the iPad up there in the middle of the bed between the two of us. And we lit there and watched it. And he began to give the invitation. Well, since she and I was already saved, I'd turned it off. But it was still on. I leaned over there to kiss her goodnight. She said, not in front of Brother Hagin. Hallelujah. You develop hearing the voice of the Lord by reading scripture. You know what you have to have to be scripture? Scriptures. For instance, go to the 10th chapter of John. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. Read that. Look at that. Put it in your eyes. Put it in your mouth. Say it with your mouth. Get it in your ears. Get it down in your heart. I hear the voice of the Spirit of God. I hear my shepherd's voice. I hear the great physician's voice. I hear him all the time. Because you see, he's speaking all the time. You and I have just been so spiritually dense, we weren't hearing it. But practice his presence. Practice it. And listen, 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 listen. Just listen, listen, listen. Lord, you got something to say? The night before I was to register the next day at ORU, scripturally illiterate, oh me, Like Gloria said, I was the oldest freshman in the world. 30 years old. I just turned 30. And boy, I remember 30. That's good, you know. Anyway, wasn't near as good as 81. No. I wouldn't go back to being that stupid again for any amount of money. Not when I'm just as strong now as I was then. Well, almost. I'm getting there. Well, I told Gloria, I said, I don't know what to do here. I could go to the airport and get me a job, but if it get me a job, I can't go to school. And I hadn't got any money. What are we going to do, Gloria? I said, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go in the bedroom there, and I don't care if this takes all night long. I'm just going to be in there and pray in the Spirit. I don't know what else to do. So I went in there and just fell on the floor and went to praying just as hard and fast as I could in tongues. And I stopped and I thought, I wonder if I'd just be quiet here, he'd say something to me. And it was not that still small voice. It was that still loud voice. Well, it's about time. I hadn't been able to get a word in edgewise. Get up on your feet. Man, I jumped up on my feet. He said, I sent you here and I'll take care of you here. And he had some other things to say about the ministry. I walked out. I said, glory to God. She said, what happened all night long? You ain't been in there but 20 minutes. I said, I didn't need to be in there no more than 20 minutes. Glory to God, I got my answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Rufus Mosey, a great, great man of faith, early part of the 20th century. He said he was in Chicago crying out to God over the meeting they were having and wasn't going well and all that. And he said, he stopped and said, huh, here lies a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. Now that's a fool that knows nothing, doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. Amen? And I'll tell you something else while I'm at it. You have never informed Jesus of anything. But you do have to ask. He already knew it. Amen. And there's a lot of time, he's just sitting there smiling at you, saying, oh my. We still got some work on to do on her, my goodness. But we can do it. And he just keeps talking to you, just keeps calling you, just keeps raising you up, just loving you and 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 loving you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, in this lifetime, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, we're just so thrilled to hear these things, to know these things. You looked at that rich young ruler and loved him, money and all. Hallelujah. And we are so blessed that you've revealed these things to us. We no longer have to be laboring under just barely enough, just living from paycheck to paycheck, know everybody in the world nearly, but we can be debt free. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I said I was going to tell you something that really helped me back in the early years. The Lord said to me, He said, Kenneth, I can't advance your ministry any further. I said, why? He said, you're too high-tempered. He said, somebody says anything ugly about you, it makes you want to fight. Now, here's what he was talking to me about. Is don't hear that. He said, don't read anything about yourself in print again, ever. Good or bad. He said, it takes too long to get the bad stuff out of your mind. And I just go to just that never ending thing that just goes on and on and on and on and run and you have to get rid of it. And he said, you don't try to get rid of the good stuff, and it's more dangerous than the bad. You get to believe in all that good stuff people say and write about you. Don't touch it. Well, I went through crisis after crisis and didn't know it was on. If you'll roll all that care over on Jesus, He'll turn it around for you. Don't pay any attention to what people say about you. Amen. They're talking ugly about you anyway. That name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Oh, yeah. I named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, and that's the reason I still got it. Hallelujah.
I'm Jackie Ryan, and I'm from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I'd homeschooled my kids, all four of my sons, and we didn't watch TV. We did videos, and the videos we chose was Wichita Slim, Bill, you know, Gospel Bill, all those videos. And that's what my kids grew up on. That was their TV. And that, so they had grown up on that, and they just loved it. It just filled them and built them. And so when the opportunity came that they were going to do a Super Kid Academy, in my kids' hearts was to have an actual Super Kid Academy. And that they thought that would be the awesomest, coolest thing for them and for the next generations. So when that came, that they were going to do that, my kids right away said, ooh, we want to be part of that. So we began the very first time Kelly had announced it, and you know, at EMIC, that they were going to build that. We had been listening to that broadcast, and we said, we're sewing into that. So each of my sons did, and they began to believe God for things that they were believing for, which was college. They were in high school, and they were doing really good, being homeschooled, but they thought, how are we ever going to go to college, and how is that ever going to come about? Financially, we couldn't do it. So that's when we believed God for all their college education to be paid in full. Debt-free, they would walk out of college. And so they began. And so we all began to believe God for that and other things we did too. So my first son began to look for college. And he thought, you know, I sowed seed and I believe God and we used our faith. So we had went to an orientation and they had said, is there anybody who really wants to go to this college? Come down to the front and talk to us. So I went down to the front and I had, my son was, I didn't know, was behind me. He was in another class and he had come behind me. And I had said, you know, my son would really love to go to college and that, and he has been believing to go to college and that we believe God to get him to college. So he says, give me his name and tomorrow I'll see what I can do. So the very next day we got a call. He had a full ride to college. And we were just thanking God, because it was like unbelievable to have that happen, but it happened. And we knew it was God. My next son, when he was beginning to graduate high school, and he was like, okay, what about me and that? So he began to sew. He went into, did children's ministry at our church and was awesome at it. And he began to believe God too. God, what about me? You know, do you have something for me? And sure enough, as the years went on, he ended up to getting exactly the same thing, another full ride, paid in full, debt-free, walked out of college. And that, so then my third son, who was my overachiever, he basically graduated high school early at 16. So he ended up going to college early. And of course, with him, we started out the same way. And then sure enough, it was scholarships, and it was actually credits that he got and everything. He ended up graduating college with a bachelor's degree at 18. And we knew that was God. And that, and again, walked out of college debt-free. The word does work. It does. God is so faithful to those who put their trust in him. And that's what we did. And that, it was impossible for any of my sons to go to college. But yet God made a way. Where there seemed no way, he made a way for our family.
I've got good news today. Because of what Jesus has done, you and I can live totally free from the burden of debt. Jesus, the Bible says, bore our poverty. He became poor so that we could become rich. Now, you need to start today living in that truth. And as you do, very soon you're going to see the manifestation of this truth come to pass in your life. You can receive what Jesus did for you to live in this kind of abundant life. And that's what this product offer is all about. It's called the Grace of Giving Package, and it's available to you today as a free gift. And in this, you're going to learn how giving is actually a supernatural act of the grace of God, and that it's not just about the amount that you give, but it's about the heart that you give with. You're going to learn the truth that's going to set you free, and you're going to be able to start giving and be a generous person with a generous, cheerful heart. And you're going to learn how to receive His abundant grace. And what does that grace do? It supplies all and every need. Amen. Are you ready to start walking in this? Go to kcm.org today and request your free package. Now listen, in about a month, we're going to be gathering together for the Branson Victory Campaign, April 4th through the 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. And we invite you to come get in this meeting. Why? Because there's going to be a bunch of people there that live like you live, talk like you talk, believe the way you do, praise and worship with the same kind of heart you do. And you get an environment like that and you begin to experience breakthrough in your life. So for more information about this meeting or any others, go to kcm.org. Now, did you know that this year we are celebrating 40 years of the Believer's Voice of Victory Sunday broadcast? This is a big deal, and we thank God for it. And partners, thank you. You've been a part of every broadcast, and we thank God for you. We bless you, and we speak increase over your life. Thanks for watching today. We'll see you again next week. Until then, this is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
For a free copy of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast on DVD, CD, or digital download, visit our website, kcm.org.